It's Current State on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. Thanks for joining us. A recent study indicates that the more familiar young children are with the brand names of less healthy foods, the more likely they are to be overweight or obese. And Current State's Melissa Benmark joins us now with more. Hi, Melissa.
Hey, Mark. I talked to an MSU professor that was part of the research team on the study. Anna McAllister is an assistant professor of advertising and public relations. And this study is interesting for several reasons, not the least of which is how you get a bunch of 3 to 5 year olds to express themselves on a bunch of verbally kind of out of their league things like brand identification. What we did, we started out to talk about what exactly they set out to measure in the study.
We measured children's knowledge of brands that offer soda, fast food, candy, sugar breakfast cereals, and tortilla chips as well. And so all of those are brands that typically their products are high in salt, fat, and sugar. So we assessed the children's knowledge of these brands and then looked at the relationship between their familiarity with the brands and their BMI, or body mass index.
And what did you find?
What we found was that the children who know most about those brands and are most familiar with those brands have higher BMIs than children who know less about the brands. And another way of looking at that, we ran an analysis a slightly different way. And what we found was that children who know most about these brands are more likely to fall into categories of being overweight or obese versus being normal healthy weight.
So what is the takeaway from that, do you think, in terms of, is more study needed, or is there a connection that you see directly between BMI and knowledge of brands, especially through their logos?
Sure. So to answer your question about the takeaway, one other thing I need to mention is that we did also measure children's physical activity. Okay, we looked at how active they were during the week. And in our first study, we found that despite there being a relationship between their brand awareness and their BMI, that could be offset by physical activity. We ran the study again. It was almost identical to the first time round. It was again looking at the relationship between brand awareness and BMI. And we again looked at physical activity. But in the second study, we found consistently that relationship between brand knowledge and BMI. However, in the second study, physical activity did nothing to offset the relationship. So the takeaway message is that the relationship between a child's brand knowledge and their BMI, or another way of looking at it, is their overweight or obesity status, is very strong. And there are times when maybe it looks like physical activity could offset that. And then there's other times when physical activity is doing nothing to resolve the issue. And to us, we think that's very important, because I think sometimes physical activity, of course we want to encourage it, but I think sometimes physical activity is seen as a cure-all. Right. Even as adults, we say, well, I'll eat Burger King for dinner, but I'm going to go to the gym tomorrow. And to us, our results seem to be sort of a warning sign that this may be a dangerous way of thinking about lifestyle choices.
I remember when we were kids, we could always sing the words to the ads for food, you know, the bologna ad and that kind of thing. And I wondered if there was, you mentioned when I was reading up on this, that you also looked at not just logos, but also cartoon characters associated with various types of food. Do you have a sense that there's a particularly hierarchy of, you know, catchy words or cartoon characters rank higher than just a regular logo? Is there a sense that there's something that's more attractive to a young child, you know, 3 to 5 in this case?
Well, in our study, we didn't look at, we didn't get down to the nitty gritty of saying, okay, is it the character that's important, or is it the color that's important, the color of the logo? We didn't do that in the study. So I couldn't answer that with strong statistical evidence. What I can tell you, though, is that in more than a decade of working with preschool kids, what I've become very familiar with is their sense of what is for them. Okay, so often little girls will think that if it's pink, it's for them. And boys think that if it's blue in color, it's for them. Likewise, if it has a cartoon character on it, it's for them. Okay, and this is precisely what we saw decades ago with the Joe Camel cigarettes, right? Was that kids knew it and paid attention to it because there was a character associated with it.
Sort of one of my pastimes is reading some of the foodie blogs. And one thing I notice that's a very common thread in food writing is there's always someone saying, when I was a little kid, we never had X and my friends had X. And most of the time it's my mom made us whole wheat bread and carrot muffins and my friend had Oreos in the lunch and I wanted Oreos. There's this common thread of envy of what other kids have. But I mean, to some extent, isn't envy kind of the whole point of advertising?
Yeah, well, you know, what's interesting is that a few years ago, we ran a study with the same co-author, Bettina Cornwell. We ran a study where we looked at children's familiarity with brands, and then we looked at how they use those brands as social symbols. Okay, this is something that in the marketing literature, we refer to as brand symbolism understanding. Just as an adult might judge or think about another adult based on the brands they wear and they use, right? Someone who wears a Rolex, maybe I think they're wealthy or successful or arrogant, whatever you want to attach to that, okay? We found that we asked young children questions like, instead of saying popular because they don't know what that means, we would say things like, well, if another child has this brand, will he have lots of friends or not many friends or somewhere in between? And we found that children as young as three, about 30% of the children in our sample would consistently make judgments, as opposed to saying like, well, I don't know, or I haven't met him. They would say, oh yeah, he'll be really cool if he eats McDonald's, or no, he'll be a loser because he's fat. These were the types of comments that came out from roughly 30% of the children in that study. So yeah, I think that advertising does work in a way that allows us to form impressions based on brand usage.
That's kind of an interesting point you bring up, that with working kids 3 to 5, you can't exactly have them write out a survey. So what did you do in the study? Did you tape record them? How did you deal with the language gap, essentially?
You're right. It is very difficult to work with children because of that language barrier. What we do in most of the studies that I run is we do a language assessment with children. It's a standardized language assessment that's typically used by developmental psychologists to see if children are at age level in terms of their understanding of English language. We then design all of our tasks so that the language requirements are very, very minimal. So for example, in understanding the children's brand knowledge in this most recent study, we didn't ask them, so what's your favorite brand? Because they don't know the B word. They don't know what a brand is. Instead, we laid out sheets of paper on the table in front of them. We gave them picture cards and we asked them to sort them into, we would put down the McDonald's logo and say, this one's a McDonald's, going to be a McDonald's picture. And then we put down the Burger King logo on another sheet of paper and we would say, this is going to be for things that are all Burger King. And then we put something random like a bunny rabbit on the last sheet of paper and we'd say, and this is going to be other things. So not McDonald's or Burger King, but other things go over here. And then we would give the child a deck of picture cards of things that belonged either to McDonald's or Burger King or didn't belong, and they would sort them out. So in doing that, they didn't have to speak to us, but we could get at, okay, do they understand what is McDonald's and what is Burger King? And are they able to sort out other things that are similar, like a KFC bucket of chicken or a piece of broccoli? Those are food. One of them's fast food, but those are not part of the McDonald's brand or the Burger King brand.
So inevitably, when studies like this come out, people either say, well, we need to, you know, ban unhealthy food advertising. And the people who don't think you should do that say, well, you need to limit your child's exposure to TV. I mean, I know it's kind of impossible to weigh in on this, but do you have any thoughts about, you know, is there something else between that eternal deadlock between get rid of all the ads and don't let your child watch TV?
Yeah, call me a fence sitter if you like, but my opinion is somewhere right down the middle. I am not someone, despite what my research findings show, I do not advocate for an outright ban on advertising to kids, nor would I recommend that parents necessarily try to restrict all advertising. Because if you cut your child off from the world, can you imagine their first week of college, right? They're going to go crazy with junk food and not know.
Yeah, see the envy thing we were talking about earlier. Yeah.
Right. So instead, I think part of what we need is education, both for parents and for children, and also to create an awareness so that parents know how their children are being targeted, and that gives them the option. Okay, so then parents can choose, do I want to let my kids see this? Should I sit down and have a conversation with my child about it? Maybe they make a decision that they'll restrict TV until a particular age, or, you know, whatever the case may be. But in working with children and their parents for the last decade, what I found is that so many parents are not up to date on and can't keep up with knowing what the current marketing practices are. They don't realize just how much product placement is in TV shows and movies. They don't realize exactly what's happening when their child goes online and plays an advert game. They can think it's nice that their kid gets access to a free game online, and a lot of parents aren't really realizing that that's a lot of constant exposure to the brand logos and so on.
So in some ways, it's a matter of giving the parents tools to see that where advertising is that they might not think it is.
Right, absolutely. I often refer to it as leveling the playing field. You know, the marketers, often they're hiring psychologists. They want to get inside kids' heads. They've got all of the money and the power and the insights to do that. And I like for parents to have some insights into exactly what's going on. And then they can choose. They can choose then.
Dr. Anna McAllister, thank you so much for joining us.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.